family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
As you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and according to Johns Hopkins Medicine, about one in four adults, so a little over 25% of adults in the U.S., reportedly suffer from a diagnosable mental disorder in a given year. And many people reportedly suffer from more than one mental health issue at a given time. So I want to talk about, first of all, the variety of mental health challenges people can face. How do we identify if maybe, even if it's at a small scale, maybe we are struggling in some regard with our mental health, and how do we handle it in a healthy way? That's where Julius Dudix joins the show, our morning show counselor, to talk about this. Hey, Julius, how are you?
Hey, Melissa, thanks for having me back. Yeah, it's a stigma, mental health. And whenever you hear the word mental health, oh, you're crazy, I don't want to admit it. And that's one of my heart's desire, is to let people know it's okay to have a mental health disorder. But when you say those words, mental health disorder, there's such a stigma attached to it. And you know, the truth is, we're all broken, and everybody's on the spectrum of some type of mental health issue and disorder. So we judge ourselves, and we're fearful that, you know, individuals are judging us. We're fearful of the unknown. And if I have this diagnosis, you know, what's going to happen with me? What am I going to find out if I have to go to therapy? Sometimes people are just filled with pride, mm-hmm. and they don't want to admit the fact that they have a mental health issue. But it's okay to have it. Melissa, early on in my marriage, my wife and I weren't doing well. I went for counseling, couples counseling. And, you know, it's okay to do that. But there's such a stigma attached with, oh, you're seeing a therapist, or, oh, you have a mood disorder or an anxiety disorder, mm-hmm. or you have an eating disorder or a trauma-related disorder. Come on, you know, we're all broken, and we have to accept ourselves and encourage one another to do the same.
It's interesting, Julius, because I really, and again, I work in the news, I work in the media. So I say this obviously not to throw criticism, but just from working in this industry, I know this firsthand. I do think this is where, and especially over time, I think there's been such an influence, whether it's from the media, social media, news outlets, whatever you want to call it, the term mental health has been thrown around, in my opinion, a lot of the times in a negative way. So, for example, every time you hear about a tragedy in America, a school shooting, let's go right there, how many times does it get associated with mental health? And understandably so, right? So we know, we've identified that when you have somebody who goes into a school and does what they do, that they are most likely, and usually in the reports, they say, you know, a day or two after, this person had severe mental health issues. So we've put this horrible cloud over the term mental health. But if we're being honest with ourselves, I think the majority of America, I mean, I think it's higher than one in four people that deal with some sort of mental health, I think, check-in. And again, I don't think it has to be something that you chronically deal with. I know for myself, I always worried for a long time, saying that I want to take a breather. I take my vacation times and I negotiate when I take on new news jobs in my career. I negotiate time off because it's important for me to keep a solid mental health, a good mental health, because we work in an industry that is super depressing and is very, very difficult, and it takes a toll on you. But saying that publicly has always been very difficult, because, you know, people then say, oh, Is she equipped to even do the job? Is she able to do it? So we've not only done, I think, in a lot of ways, a disservice to say, you know, using mental health as freely as we have, but I also think we've really thrown a lot of stigmas out there for the people who are honest about it and trying to have normalized conversations about it. So what we're doing right now, I hope at least can serve one person listening to feel more open about it and not worry about the fact that there are always going to be people who put misconceptions out there. But I think when you're honest with yourself, you have a better way of dealing with a mental health issue.
Absolutely, Melissa. If you go underground, and let's say you've got explosive personality disorder, and you're an angry parent and nobody knows, or you're a wife of an angry husband or a husband of an angry wife, and you just go underground and you never let anybody in. And I'm not saying hang your dirty laundry out for everybody to see. But, you know, so often we just hide and we go deeper and deeper and we're not truthful with ourselves. There's so much power in admitting the fact that, you know what, I can tend to be angry. But you don't have to, even if you get that angry, you know, that explosive personality disorder, you know, where does it come from? You know, did you have a father that way? Did you have a grandfather that way? You know, in terms of genetics, is that a factor in it? And certainly they all are, but you don't have to become your diagnosis. And that's the other stigma that I'm a caution. Whenever somebody comes to my office and says, yes, I was diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. Okay, well, do I live to my diagnosis? Because there's such a thing as a self-fulfilling prophecy in psychology, and you become what people tell you you are. And so I'm not negating the diagnosis. It's good to know that for self-awareness, but you don't have to be that person. Yes, medication can help. Yes, therapy can help. All types of therapy can help, but you don't have to be your diagnosis. But it's okay to have the diagnosis because it's good self-awareness. It's just, this is why I am what I am, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, and the other thing, we have our counselor, Julius Dudix, here. The other thing, Julie, is that it kind of holds people back sometimes. So we talked about, you know, the job. So I know for myself in news, that is something that I have always been very careful of for many mm-hmm. years up until really the pandemic. And we started to have more open conversations about mental health. But I know even cops, for example, they can't really share if they have, you know, depression or anxiety, because all of a sudden,
sure.
even at a hiring level, they have to question, are you able to do the job then effectively? Is this going to impact the right. way that you handle society? So we understand the jobs. Another thing, though, is people feel that they are going to be labeled. So, for example, as we talk about a mental health crisis in our country, you know, there are people who are law-abiding citizens. They are, if anything, they're being transparent. They are addressing their needs, and maybe they do want to see a therapist, but they're worried. It's going to block me from, for example, you know, being able to get a weapon, or maybe it's going to block me from being able to get housing if it shows that I have, you know, I am diagnosed with anxiety or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. What do you say to the people who are worried about that? They're worried that if you go to see a therapist, that there's almost like this public record of, yep, I am acknowledging I have a mental health issue or a challenge I'm dealing with. And they're worried that this is going to, you know, almost put like a scar on their name or their record, their personal record for life?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you want to be discreet. And like I said, you don't want to hang your dirty laundry out for everybody. And if you're going for an interview and you're fearful that somebody's going to find out that, gee, I had an anger issue in my previous job and I ended up, you know, throwing things or doing whatever kind of a thing, you've really got to approach each situation differently. And sometimes it's best to be upfront with it and say, yeah, I have this issue, but I'm working on it. And, you know, I currently up to date, I've got a note from my therapist, my counselor, indicating that I've made some good progress. Sometimes it's good to be upfront with it, and sometimes it's good to not say anything about it. So it's really a matter of the situation you find yourself in. But, yeah, that's another reason why people don't want to share that, hey, I have this mental health issue. You know, with anger or with substance abuse or whatever it is. So, yeah. But, you know, how do you know? You know, the other side of me says, you know, in terms of mental health awareness, how do you really know you have these things?
Yeah. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we are talking to Julius Dudix, our morning show counselor, about identifying in ourselves whether we are dealing with a mental health challenge. Are we in what we'd call a good mental health phase? What are some warning signs to look out for? And, you know, mental health really comes in so many different, it feels like, ways and shapes, right, Julius? I mean, the range
right.
is unbelievable. There are mood disorders, anxiety, personality disorders, things going on, obviously, mentally, like, you know, eating, trauma-related, things that date back to when you were
yeah.
a kid, substance
right.
abuse. I mean, the list goes on and on. And when you hear about all of the different categories under mental health, all of a sudden we can get real with ourselves and go, oh, you know what? Actually, I think I kind of do face, you know, a little bit of mental health, you know, challenges or crises in my life. And they could come and go. That's the thing. And that's why it's so important.
Sure.
You're in check with yourself constantly. So let's talk about general warning signs. Julius, what do you want people to look out for?
Yeah, we want to look out for if you're feeling or you have a loved one who's feeling long-lasting sadness or irritability. If they have extremely, look for the moods, extremely highs and lows, you know, in terms of the way they do life. If a loved one you're close to is experiencing worry sometimes or fear or even anxiety, a huge one in my checkbox or checklist in my as I deal with people is loneliness, you know, social withdrawal. If people are socially withdrawing on a regular basis, you're not feeling yourself. You want to withdraw. Again, agitation, hopeless, helpless, those feelings. Sometimes, you know, it's always these areas that every time I have a session with a client, I always check for how are you sleeping, appetite, exercise, routine, water consumption, hygiene, medications appropriately. Those are all areas of mental health. And if your sleep is not right, your appetite's not right. If you're not drinking a lot of water, you're not exercising. If you've got excessive periods of sadness, if you're not taking medications appropriately, or you're combining with a little bit of wine or whatever gummies, you know, those are signs, red flags for me that hey, this person's not right in terms of their mental health. But again, you have to view it like I got a broken arm, and broken arms can heal. And your mind can heal as well. But people have this stigma, Melissa, about that term mental health. I wish there were another term we can use to help people understand, hey, it's okay to get a checkup from the neck up kind of thing.
I always think, you know, instead of mental health, again, to kind of get away from that, it's feeling, you know, like you are balanced in your brain. I always think of it as, you know, a brain. You know, I almost say like your brain and your heart are feeling aligned. They're feeling like they're in a good place.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny, you know, you go to the gym to make sure you're getting your body into great shape. You eat certain foods to make sure you are putting the right nutrients in. You hydrate your body, right? You do all these things. But what's funny is when it comes to making sure your brain is in check and that you emotionally and mentally are in a good place, all of a sudden that is looked at as, wow, there's something totally wrong with you. It's wild to me, that perception. You're right. And it could be just renaming it. It could just be the message that gets out there. But I think it's, again, being honest with ourselves and really, like you always talk about, Julius, is knowing the truth. You know, so for so many years, I would look at, you know, when I'd have a breakdown, for example, you know, even saying breakdown for so long was so hard to admit out loud. But really what it is you sort of have things that pile up and you get to a point where your brain kind of, you know, has a warning sign that goes off and says, hey, you need to get this off your chest or it's going to turn into something bigger than you want it to be. That's okay. I don't know why we're so scared to admit that. That is, if people are claiming that that never happens to them, that is just, I don't think true. I think the majority of people have breaking points. I think the majority of people, right? I mean, I think we hit a wall, and I don't know why we've created it into this big monster. It's sad.
Yeah, it's okay to not be okay.
Exactly.
It's okay to not be okay. And Melissa, then you get the what about the people who love other people in terms of family? I've got a son. I've got a daughter. I've got a husband. How do I help them in terms of acknowledging? And the best thing you can do with them is to build relationship. Because in life, so much progress is made through the relationship of trust and integrity and honesty and genuineness and authenticity. And if you have that kind of relationship, you can begin to, A, let them know that you're there for them. You can invite them to vent and get into their own, you know, issues and face them. You know, you don't want to force people. You know, you can't force somebody and, you know, to really go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
Right, that's pushing your own agenda onto somebody else. You have to, you know, certainly be supportive in a guiding light, but forcing you know, in so many ways. But, I mean, it's the same with anything, you know, right? Mandating or forcing people to follow your beliefs and stuff. Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
It's not healthy.
The best to put them, you know, make them own it by asking the question, well, what do you think we should do about it?
Right.
How do you think you're behaving, and what would you like to see happen in your life in terms of your own mental health growth kind of thing? But if they own it, then they can, again, but that's only established or only you can ask that when you have the relationship, and then they can be honest with themselves, look at themselves and say, I need to do this for me. I need to take care of myself for me.
That's very true. And I have to just give a quick shout out to a regular guest on the show, Gary McNamara, who's one of our law enforcement experts on the show, Julius. He said, I know what the term is called. It's called being human. Which is, you know, I couldn't agree with him more. You know, what do we call mental health? It's called being human. We're imperfect and we're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the complexities of being human, I love that. So, Julius, if people want to talk to you about being human and struggling with that, what is the best way to reach you?
You can look at the website, N as in Nancy, J as in John, cc.online. Or you can call 203-243-7714. Melissa, one of the funniest, it's not funny, but it's really telling for me when I tell somebody in my office, you know what, I want you to know that it's okay to not be okay because I'm broken and I've had issues. And I lose my patience with my little doggy, Sammy, the puppy who pees on my floor. You know, nobody's perfect. We all have, you know, issues we want to work on in terms of patience and you know, helping ourselves to move forward. So I'm broken, you're broken, we're all broken, and we're human. Yes.
I agree. I totally do. Julius, what a great conversation, and especially during May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you for all you do, Melissa. Have a good day.
You too. Julius Dudix, our morning show counselor on WICC.